Hey there, we're live here at Ignite 2015, and we're sneaking in some dev stuff.
Yeah, we're just not telling anybody.
Don't tell anybody. I know there's a microphone and everyone can hear us, and then everyone's going to see this, but that's okay. We're here with Glenn Condren. How are you doing, bud?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
So here's the thing. ASP.NET version 5. We've heard a lot about it, and I'm pretty excited about it, but I haven't really seen any content like, hey, here's how to get started.
Yeah.
I want to see file new, make something in ASP.NET version 5 and just see all of those things interacting that we've been hearing about.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So tell me a little bit about ASP.NET version 5, why we should go, and then maybe show us how to get started.
So in ASP.NET 5, we started out back a while ago now.
Yeah.
And we said we want to make a cross-platform ASP.NET. A cross-platform web stack. We wanted to be able to run it. We want people to be able to dev on a Mac. We want to be able to deploy to Linux. We want them to use Windows if we want. We want to take advantage of everything that's great about .NET, and we want to be able to take it out to the world, right?
So you said that really fast. I don't think people are recognizing what you said. You're saying we like .NET,
yeah,
and we like ASP.NET, mm-hmm, but we want it to work on a Mac,
yeah,
and a Linux machine.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's important that we stop and say this is new. Okay. It's not this is brand new stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is I have a Mac, I can write an ASP.NET website on my Mac, and I can deploy it to a Linux machine, or I can develop on my Windows machine and deploy it to a Linux machine, deploy it to a Windows machine, whatever you want to do. Right? Our three operating systems works on all of them. So what we did in order to achieve that,
right,
we wrote this thing called the DNX. You might have heard of it if you've been watching along at our build talks and stuff like that. And what the DNX does is you have different flavors of the DNX for the different CLRs, because you have .NET 4.5 that everybody loves,
which like is 4.5x,
full framework. It's installed on your machine. It's got everything in it. It's great. You've got Mono.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for anybody who hasn't kind of looked into that, Mono is a community project, not run by Microsoft, where they tried to take everything that was .NET and they tried to make it work on Mac and Linux. Right.
Right.
So ASP.NET works on Mono, and it works on the full desktop framework, and it works on a new CLR that our friends have been working on, which is Tiny, Tiny Core CLR, which is just the bare minimum you can get out of .NET, and it's capable of being deployed with your application. So you can take the CLR and you can deploy it with your app, so that nothing about the machine affects your application other than it's got a process.
So that's called a core CLR,
called the core CLR.
So let's see if I'm understanding it. Now the core CLR sort of goes wherever your application goes.
It can, yes.
And what I think that that's cool for developers is, before, when you were tied to .NET 4.5, if you were on .NET 4.5, you're on .NET 4.5.
Exactly.
But if there is a change in the core CLR that you don't necessarily want to subscribe to, you can have the old core CLR, right, in like sort of bin deployed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And you know, there's some work we had to do to try and get like servicing to work so that we could still deploy like really important updates and stuff like that. We're trying to avoid as much as possible that type of thing, though. We don't want to be in a world. We're trying to reduce the amount of time we like accidentally break people by deploying like an unrelated patch to the machine.
Got it.
Right, and it also works really well. Jeffrey Snover has been talking about this nano server thing.
Uh-huh.
He was talking about it last at Build and a few places. You're talking about like this tiny little Windows server with this tiny little core CLR where you can deploy your app. Your app is completely self-contained.
Nice.
Right. This is a really awesome story when you start putting all of these pieces together. And there was one thing, there was a particularly telling demo that we had a long time ago, Tech Ready. This is the internal Microsoft conference,
right,
where we tell everybody internally what we've been doing. A booth way back when that was on, it was like maybe alpha days of ASP.NET 5. We were doing a demo, and I think Hansom has done this on stage, where we deployed an ASP.NET 5 application to a memory stick. And then we'd unplug the memory stick and we'd go find someone in the audience and we'd plug it in and we'd double click it and it'd run. Right?
I did this with Scott Hunter.
Yeah.
We were in Lima and he's like, here, put this in, and now click on it, and it
works.
Ran.
Yeah. I found that USB disk about a month ago. and I plugged it into my laptop and it still runs.
That's awesome.
Right? It's like, it is amazing. And on my machine is like world past, like I formatted my machine probably twice since.
Right.
Then. Right. It's got nothing even remotely related to these alpha bits that we had from a year ago. It is all moved on, and yet everything still runs because that Apple, that folder has the CLR, it has all of the libraries from .NET that I'm using, my app's using, it has all of the NuGet packages that I'm using, it has everything. Now, the other thing that is cool is, like, technically, it's got the CLR in it, right? It has the full NuGet package, so it has any extra flavors of DLLs that are in that package you need are there. Which means if you put like a couple, two DNXs in there, two CLRs, say a Linux CLR and a Windows CLR, you could kind of move that app around and it would keep running.
That's cool.
Right?
I think the thing that's scary for people is because we now want to work on these other platforms, we have to start talking more about sort of how ASP.NET works underneath.
Yeah.
But when you're a regular ASP.NET developer that wants to just move to ASP.NET 5, all that other stuff, is it really relevant?
Doesn't matter.
Well, do you have something to show us? Maybe a file new?
Yeah, I can show you some stuff. I can show you a file new. One of the other things that I wanted to talk about is, and the reason I'm going to do the demo the way I'm doing it right now, is that I've had a few people come up to me here at Ignite.
Yeah.
And they're coming up to me and they're like, hey, I love this ASP.NET 5 thing, but I did file new and my God, right, my head just exploded.
There's a lot of choices.
I don't know what's going on. There's all these things I don't know about. There's like Gulp and there's Bower and there's something called NPM. I don't know where that is.
Right.
And then I tried to search around and then suddenly I started to search and I've got 50 tabs
yeah,
open.
Yeah, there's a lot of
all
stuff.
Of these technologies. I've got no idea what any of them do. All right, so I'm going to like, we're going to do file new, take you on a quick lap around the file new template.
Got it.
And then just put your mind at ease, right?
Okay, let's do it.
So I'm in Visual Studio. I have a... This is the file new project dialog that everybody knows. And I've got ASP.NET web application selected.
Right.
Don't worry about these two for now. You can leave all of them. So I've got this. I'm going to create it in this folder called Channel 9. Let's make it like the great.
Why not web application 57? I mean, that's really? What it usually was, right?
Okay. Yeah, that's what it usually is. Web application
57, right?
57.
That's what we're up to.
57 is what we're up to. This session is brought to you by the letter 57.
That's right.
Number 57. All right. I know you've always wanted to do that.
That's right.
Okay. So now we've got this one ASP.NET dialog. It's kind of the same as the thing you used to. This top row here, this is the same ASP.NET that you know and love. It's
right.
All of the current projects, right? And I think they're probably the defaults. If you just clicked OK, I think you get MVC from there, right?
So those are, if you're doing ASP.NET development with MVC or web forms, that's all the same.
Yeah. There's been a little bit of confusion here at Ignite. People are like, hey, every time I see a demo of Visual Studio and ASP.NET, I only see this new stuff. Why can't I develop my my MVC 5.NET 4.6 application in Visual Studio? And I'm like, you absolutely can.
Yeah.
It's all
there it is.
Here, right? So this bottom bit here are these preview templates, and this is what we're going to talk about. So let's make a new website. You notice the templates are a bit different. Like when you pick the existing stuff, you get different options. But and we'll go OK. And away we go. And this will sit. This is exactly the same as what you do.
Yeah, it feels the same.
Today, right? This is what it is. It's just file new, make me an application. This starter page here that lands, it just gives you a lot of links to some content. If you want to click around on here, you'll get a lot of like how to do stuff on in ASP.NET 5.
So got it.
You can use this to kind of help you out if you want. And then let's have a look at our solution. What have we got? We have our incredibly aptly named web application.
That's right, because it.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a few things that are different in here, but there's a lot of stuff that's the same, right? There's a lot of familiar things. So you've still got views and you've got controllers for those of you who have been at home. I don't know how much you can see.
There you go. I was going to ask you to zoom in.
So we've still got all the familiar MVC stuff that we want to talk about, right? We've got controllers, we've got views, we've got models.
So let me ask some questions, because this is a little different. I usually do file new MVC application.
Uh-huh.
I see a couple of folders. Maybe you can help me out with what they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
I see www.
That's one of the new ones. Yeah. Okay.
So what is that?
So this is a new concept. So this is something that's new. in some other web frameworks, and now in ASP.NET 5, you have kind of a distinction between what is public and servable,
right?
By the server, by like IIS, and what is not. So if you publish this, if we publish this application, we'll actually get a www root folder. And it's got in it, if you switch back to Visual Studio real quick, you can see inside here is there's a CSS folder, there's an image folder, there's
so that's what actually
folder, right?
goes out.
That's what's actually, all this stuff looks familiar, right? It's static content.
Yeah.
It's HTML web stuff. So if you have IIS, you point IIS at your www root folder, and it thinks that is your application.
Got it.
Right?
So everything else around it is more like, this is stuff to support the project.
Absolutely.
Got it. But that's what actually goes out.
Exactly. And so what that puts you in an interesting world where if IIS, if the root of your website according to IIS is this www root folder, nothing else is going to be servable by default, right?
Right.
IIS is really good at having these big lists of making sure that nothing can accidentally get returned to the browser that you don't want to. Like it has a bunch of blacklisting saying don't X star dot, X
right.
files don't get to return and things like that. In this world, all of that stuff still exists, so you're still safe from that. But you're also just this little extra measure, which is everything in www root is designed to be publicly returned to the users.
Got it.
And everything that's not is not. So when we publish this app, and we can publish to the file system in a minute and have a look at the structure if we get time.
Yeah.
You get a separation. All of your DLLs and everything will get compiled into one folder called your application root, and then everything in www root goes into a web root, and you point IIS at the web root.
All right, so let's keep going on there. So
let's go down.
I see next, references.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Dependencies.
Well, references make sense.
Oh, look at that. That's interesting.
Look at this, right? So references is kind of what you know. It is kind of what you knew. It does make sense. However, it is new and different. So when I open this guy up, what do I see? And first of all, I have these two frameworks, DNX 451 and DNX Core. What these are is I can have different NuGet package dependencies depending on which of the CLRs I want to run on.
Right.
Full.NET on your machine is it's got everything there. You don't necessarily need a lot of dependencies. But when you start moving into core CLR, we've tried to make it really modular and really pay for play.
Right.
Right. So if you don't need system.xml, you don't add the system.xml package, you don't got no XML in your application, right?
Right.
In fact, if you remove enough dependencies from your core CLR dependency tree, you'll start getting errors like unable to find type system.object.
Interesting.
Right? Or I don't know what void is. Like all of these crazy errors that you've never seen before in your life because there is no code there.
So in this case, we have a reference to the full DNX.
Yeah.
And the core DNX. Are there differences, or is it just kind of subtle and it doesn't matter?
There are absolutely differences. So the DNX 451 is, I'm running an ASP.NET 5 application, like a thing on top of the DNX that
Got
we
it.
Talked about, on the full .NET framework on my machine that I love. And that means there's a few like wrinkles in that. For example, the full 4.051 has the global assembly cache for these developers out there that love the global assembly cache, right? Core does not.
Right.
Now, that almost doesn't impact you most of the time, but it's just like a really quick example of some of the things that you get that are different.
I see.
So DNA, the core of it is, though, is 4.5.1, you are always operating on the full CLR it's installed on your machine. Core CLR, you are operating against a core CLR, a tiny little DLL.
Got it.
That can either be in your application, or it could be global to your machine, or wherever it needs to find it from. Plus, a big collection of NuGet packages.
Okay.
If we open this guy up, we've got a whole
ton
of NuGet.
Yeah, and you can
see
their NuGet,
right?
Because they have
got
the
this little NuGet icon on it, right?
So here's the question.
Why is there a reference to both? Because this web application is built to work on both.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense.
Right. So the file that controls the world in these applications is called the project.json. And if we open this guy up and we go and have a look at it, there's all my dependencies. But if I scroll down, I have this, which is
Those are the
running on both, right?
Got it.
If I said, hey, I'm core CLR is great, but I'm not so interested in it today, I delete that and I just save this file, Control S, now it's gone.
Oh, and so now when you're configuring it, the whole system sort of re-updates itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Got it. Okay, so let's go down to dependencies.
Dependencies, okay. So the first thing, the dependencies are a little bit different here. These are the NuGet packages. What this list is everything inside my project.json.
Okay.
It's this list. See, they're the same.
Got it.
Right? Now, however, in NuGet, for people familiar with NuGet, all of these NuGet packages have little arrows next to them so I can click on them.
Uh-huh.
And that's because NuGet packages depend on other NuGet packages, which depend on other NuGet packages.
Right.
Depend on other NuGet packages. And eventually you get to, you know, the system DLLs that everybody that you know, right? What you're seeing in here is the tree of dependencies that your application eventually pulls in.
Got it.
And there's lots in the starter web because we do a lot of stuff. We do authentication, social auth, and
right.
entity framework, and you know, all sorts of stuff, logging and configuration.
Okay. Well, let's scroll down because I want to see more of how the project stuff is set up. Because yeah. there's the dependencies I was talking about is right below
www. You want this guy?
Yeah. What is that?
Now, dependencies, there's two terms, there's some new stuff in here around modern web application development that is going to be unfamiliar to, like the people I'm talking to here at night at least, is unfamiliar right. to many of them. Some of you are going to love it and know it. And what these are Bower packages
I see.
And Node and NPM.
And that's for like client-side type development and tasks.
Yes. So Bower is a package manager like NuGet is a package manager. NPM is a package manager like NuGet is a package manager
right.
for different things. Bower, as you can see here, Bower is where we're getting like Bootstrap and we're getting jQuery and we're
right.
getting JavaScript libraries and things like that. And that's where Bower is great. It's like a package manager for client content.
And we've done lots of content on this with Mads explaining
yeah,
what these things are.
Right?
And so, for the majority of people, this is more like if you want Bootstrap or jQuery or you want to run some tasks with Gulp or Grunt, that goes in there.
That goes in here. Okay. That's where they'll appear. And these two are controlled by your Bower and your package JSON that appear in here. The reason there's multiple JSON files is these different technologies use different ones.
And the interesting thing is that now it's starting to make sense why you have a www root folder. And outside of it, you have all the configuration for the project that's not going to belong in that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so the other thing, and the reason that you have Node, and the reason you have Bower is because you want to get jQuery and Bootstrap,
yep.
and the best way to get them is to use the package manager that has the most support for them.
Correct.
So we do that. Now, then you're in an interesting world because what happens is if we open this guy up, let's go a little bit deep. We're sneaking some developer confidence in, right?
Let's do it. We're sneaking some dev stuff in. Let's do it.
Might as well go all the way. So you've got this Bower components folder.
Uh-huh.
And inside here is where your stuff goes, right?
Correct.
That is neither the www root or anything else cares about, right? So then what we say is, okay, we need at the end of the day, you need Bootstrap CSS linked in your HTML file.
As well as the jQuery.
And the jQuery stuff, right? You need jQuery in there. So what we have is this gulp file, okay? Now, what gulp does is gulp is a task runner,
uh-huh.
which means you define some gulp tasks, common things that you do, move files around, delete files, do all these
bundling,
common things
you do minification,
during
dev, all that
anything
stuff.
Anything like that, right? So you... And you can just run them. And we've added some tooling and stuff. You've probably seen videos about how to support this. One of the things that this guy does is it has this copy task. And look, it's saying, oh, here's all of my Bower packages. These are the paths where they go to on disk. I want you to copy them out into my www root folder.
Got it.
So what my gulp task is doing is it is copying the past stuff that Bootstrap downloads, the stuff that Bower downloads, moving it into my www root so that I can deploy it over to my application.
Because there might be files in the whole Bootstrap distribution that you might necessarily not need,
you might want to
minify it as it's going down.
Absolutely. If we do a really quick look at this. This is the Bower. This is the package for jQuery, right?
Yeah, and you just don't need all that.
No. This is the way Bower packages are, right? It's got everything. And it might be interesting and it might help when you're debugging, but really you just want to like reference to that guy.
But once you deploy, You just want to take the, you want to get all the other stuff out and just put what you have.
Exactly. So that's what your gulp task is about. It's like, pick the pieces I need from that, copy it over there.
Got it.
Some people decide, some people in the world, you know, they just like can push their bowel components package to their server and they're happy. And yeah, you can do that if you really want.
Yeah.
We set up our template by default to have gulp and just move the bits you need in because that's the way we think we like to work.
Okay. So in the project folder, in the project solution or the project folder, I saw that we had model view controllers. That makes sense. But there's a couple of other things, the compiler and migrations folder.
Yeah.
What are those?
Okay, so this compiler has a preprocessor in it, or the Razer preprocessor, which is which is candidly there just to help you learn something and make people like you ask that question.
Yes.
So what this does is if you uncomment these lines, this will give you pre-compiled views in MVC.
To speed up the Razer processing.
Speed up the Razer process. So
instead of
compiling Razer on the server when you hit a request, it'll do it when during the build step. And this is actually interesting because these pre-processors are an interesting concept. What you can do with DNXT and ASP.NET 5 is you can get these pre-compilation modules, and we will take Razer is our compiler as a service, and what you can do is take the entire Razer, everything Roslyn knows about your project, pass it to your class, and you can do whatever you want to it.
And so this is a way of like intercepting the Razer compilation and maybe injecting your own stuff into it.
Good. One of the things we use, this one here is about pre-compiling the views. One of the other ones we've got, for example, is a not null attribute. And we have this pre-compilation module which goes through our entire source tree, finds like not null attributes and replaces them with like if null throw exception.
Oh, right? Interesting.
So you can like, all it's doing is giving you the ability to work with Roslyn before we finish doing
this. This is like super advanced stuff.
Absolutely.
If you want to like really get into the customization.
Yeah.
And finally, we have the migrations.
So migrations are the same as you would have done EF migrations in the past.
Got it. Okay.
But this is for Entity Framework. These are Entity Framework 7 in this case, so they behave differently for the Entity Framework experts out there, but otherwise that's where your migrations will go, your code first migrations to generate your database.
All right, well, I see some other files. What's message service?
Yeah, message service, we don't need to worry about too much. It's just showing you that you can send
just like a helper.
It's just one of those code files we drop to help people go do some learning later.
And now the most important file, I think, startup.
Startup CS.
Okay. What is that?
So you remember back when I said at the start of this that we wanted to make this modular cross-platform stack.
Right.
There's something that came to mind to us when we were talking about a modular cross-platform stack,
uh-huh.
And that was the Owen and Katana project from MVC5, right?
Yeah.
It allowed you to stitch together this
HTTP pipeline
and build it kind of independent of the web server. Well, we're like, what if? And so a lot of this stack was our really early days thinking is, what if we took those principles and applied them to everything, all the way through, from like the CLR all the way up,
interesting.
Right? That's the type of, it wasn't exactly that, because everybody's thinking about all these things at the same time. But
right.
From our extent, it's like, yeah, this Katana Owen stuff, like, that makes sense. We should keep that. That was a really good idea. So that's what your startup CS is. It is this configure method here is you, whoa. This configure method, not configure services, we'll come back to configure services. This configure method is familiar to anybody who's used our kind of Katana part stuff from our current MVC world. It is, let's put together my pipeline and my request will go through it. Yeah, so the interesting things happen in here, like if you, this use static files. One thing, if you are running from the command line, like you've probably seen people do in demos, is if you have this app.usestaticfiles, if you remove that, you don't get CSS anymore because it's that thing that's returning CSS to the browser.
Right.
Right. If you're in IIS, you get static files anyway because IIS is smart enough to know that you need static files.
Yeah.
But if you're running on the command line, you don't, right? So this is how you stitch together your pipeline, how your request gets processed. You know, if you want MVC, you put a use MVC in here, and that's down at the bottom here. I've got use MVC. If I didn't have use MVC in here, I wouldn't have any MVC in this application.
It's interesting. And so now this is a way to really customize,
absolutely.
Like down to the, I'm getting a request,
what do I do with it?
And it sort of hands off to maybe the pipeline that you're building up.
Exactly. And the and this order kind of matters. So if you came in here up at the top somewhere and said, you know, if my URL, if the thing that's, you know, and handled some request,
uh-huh.
it'd never get to MVC, right? If I threw an exception in here, like it would, you'd never get to MVC's handling. You'd never
be able to see a page, in order. Right?
Yeah, in order as it goes.
That's really cool. Right?
And then the method that people don't get in here that's new, that's really new, and that one maybe not a lot of people have seen, but it's kind of similar,
it's
the same.
Yeah, people
right?
have heard of it.
This is completely new, which is configure services. One of the things that ASP.NET 5 has is like DI at the core, right?
Built
people
in.
Talk about this built in. And what that really means is that we have this collection of services that we flow around and we'll inject into any of your types. In this configure services method is where you set that up. So I said I did use MVC, right? Down there in the bottom of my thing, and that's how, if I didn't do that, I wouldn't get MVC. This add MVC is adding all the services that MVC requires and to my collection of
like
services.
Like the context or who's making the call, the identity.
All the types, all the interfaces that MVC need to actually function itself, they happen when you do add MVC.
And so now you can actually add your own services
Absolutely.
To have those injected into your controllers, for example.
So if you go and watch Damien Edwards deep dive into ASP.NET 5 from Build last week, what he does is he dives into a bug in caching that he discovered on stage at a previous conference and shows you how he added a line to the top to override a service that was being added later incorrectly. What happened was a service was being added in such a way that it would get a new one every time you called it, and he needed a singleton that it was only one of. So he added it at the top as a singleton, and then all of our ads, they all do a try add. Like if it's not there already, add it. So if you wanted to replace any interface that is used by any of our frameworks, if you like added it here, our frameworks wouldn't add it themselves. And then we would be using whatever your type is, your iFoo.
So this is really like Lego web-based. Like you could go in there and change, you can make your own MVC, for example.
Absolutely.
To handle everything that has to do with requests and response and all that other stuff.
And it's used for a few other things too, like in just here, when we're doing like add entity framework, we're doing add entity framework, and we're doing adding like this application DB context.
Right.
So in this case, we're allowing application DB context to flow over in my controllers. I can just accept my DB context as a constructor parameter, and it'll just be there for me.
And if you're not using entity framework, say you're using some other, you just use whatever service you want.
If you've just got a class that does something, and you want it to be available everywhere in your application, just your code, you just add it here to services.
And you get an instance of it.
Get it in your constructor of your controller. And you
That's
can
pretty
use it,
cool.
Right? And if you want to use your own container, which we absolutely encourage everybody to do, especially as we get more and more of them on. The container is deliberately doesn't have very many features.
Yeah.
So you probably want to use your own. You want to use an inject or autofac or something. So you do that, you configure that in here as well.
That's cool.
And it's kind of like grabbing all the services that have already been registered and putting them into your container, and then after that we use yours.
Feels like what we're saying as Microsoft is, we'll give you this place to start, but you can do anything
you want. Yeah, what it means is that when you do file, unfortunate side effect of that is you do file new, when you look
you
at
gotta decide,
thing, you
got to decide, what am I going to put in here?
What's going on here?
Yeah.
So that's why file new has so much stuff to try and help you work out what's going on. But it can be really overwhelming. So that's why I'm hoping this like really brief overview is going to help you work it out.
So can we do like a hello world and publish it somewhere?
Sure. So this one is, let's see what this thing does when we run it. Like I'm hoping it does something.
Yeah.
I mean, it does have the most important number of the day in it.
That's right.
So we'll run this locally. When I do control F5, excellent. Control
Perfect.
F5, look at that. Oh, look, Windows, Linux.
Nice.
I actually had a guy, I was wearing a little badge and it said Microsoft loves Linux on Monday.
Did he fall on his face?
I had a guy come up and say, I have to take a photo with a Microsoft PM
That's
wearing
awesome.
A badge that says that.
Like, I think we're all about compute now. If you want to do computation, we love you to do it on anything. Just do it in Azure.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice.
And that's what we're going to do. So let's create a new, we probably don't want to put it on the Jabber account. That's probably a bad idea. So let's go, we're going to call this.
Wait, I just missed something. You right-clicked and hit publish, is that right?
So I right-clicked and I said, while we were talking, I right-clicked, let's do it again, because, you know, we can't
That was
we can't
super fast. Like,
I right-clicked and I said, I want to publish this application.
Okay.
Okay. If I said file system, it'd create a folder on disk and it'd put everything in there ready to go.
From the www root.
Everything from everywhere.
Compiled and
all in.
The gulp task run.
All that
everything.
Stuff's done.
Okay.
Right. But now I'm going to say Azure because we're all about Azure when
That's
we're all
right.
about compute. This is going to finding all my Azure websites. We don't really want to look at them. And then I said, probably don't want to put it on the Jabber account, so I probably should put it on my
Perfect.
Thing. And then we need to call it something.
Web application 57.
Web
right?
application. There's no way web application 57 has been taken. What do you think?
By the way, this is all happening live. This is going to be pushed live. Okay?
Absolutely. We'll select a region. What do you think? North Central US sounds
of course.
A fine region. And we'll go create. And this is going to actually create my. It's creating it on my. Azure account. Luckily enough, I have an Azure MSDN subscription.
As it's going through and it's going to publish, obviously it's going to take up. Oh, was it? Is it?
Is it done? Did it just make a liar out of you?
Oh no! Is it that fast?
No, it still has some work to do.
Okay. So as it's doing that, I'm sure there was tons of deliberations on how to make the next version of ASP.NET 5.
Absolutely.
It doesn't feel like a rewrite. It feels more like an invitation for you to do whatever you want with .NET.
It does. We had a goal, so at the MVC layer, we throw out this number earlier, it was like 80%, which was like 80% of stuff should be the same or feel familiar enough that you're okay. And we had an intern come and join the team, and we said, she didn't know anything about ASP.NET, and we said, okay, here's a book. Grab a book about how to write ASP.NET applications, or we gave her a book perhaps, and said, go. And she said, okay, she doesn't know anything about it. She saw everybody else was doing file new, you know, ASP.NET 5 app, so that's what she did. So she's following an MVC, a current MVC book, building like a blog.
Right.
On the ASP.NET 5 MVC.
Uh-huh.
So she's following a tutorial for the old stack on the new stack. She didn't know until she got to doing database access and realized that she was trying to use Entity Framework 7.
Interesting.
So she'd actually made controllers, had views, she's returning them. Everything was exactly the same as it was before.
I got it. So conceptual, it's a conceptual, it's the same.
Yeah.
But underneath the plumbing is different.
Yeah, so, and the reason, and I mean, you talk about that, yes, underneath the plumbing is different, but if you're just like doing the like Visual Studio tooling, you say create controller, it creates you a controller.
It's all the same.
It's all the same, right? So all of us, a controller is still a controller, a view is still a view. There's differences, there's lots of underlying stuff that's different. The way MVC works is kind of different. And if you talk to someone on the MVC team, they'll probably tell you it's really different, right?
Yeah.
But for most intents and purposes, it's still the same programming model. You know, it's still the same paradigm. There's just some different pipelining.
It's still driving, but now we're driving the Tesla. Is that what it is? That's awesome. It looks like the site deployed and it's live.
Absolutely,
and it's working.
So this published and it popped IE for me because apparently that's my default browser and it went to my web application 57.azurewebsites.net. I'll leave this up here. If you guys bring down my Azure account, I won't be happy.
Uh-oh. Well, Glenn, thanks so much. Like, for me, it was a little scary, right? Because it's like you guys are talking about the car and I'm trying to talk about driving.
Yeah.
Driving is the same, except now we can do a lot more stuff with ASP.NET version 5.
Apparently, you can decide to, you know, replace your windscreen. And
you could do it yourself.
Like that.
That's right. Thanks so much. I know it was a little bit longer, but this was so helpful to me. I'm sure helpful to our viewers. Thanks for watching. Thanks for spending some time with us. We're here at Ignite 2015, sneaking in some dev stuff. We'll see you guys next time.